Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
It's time to talk food now, and Chef Shane Smith is here to take us through another hero ingredient. So Shane, we previously spoke about cheese.
Yes.
And we spoke about lemons. We learned a lot on the lemons day. But today we're delighted because it's chocolate.
A subject very close to my heart, a confessed chocoholic here. So yes, talking all things chocolate today.
And before we talk about what we can do with chocolate now, you're going to take us back and give us a little history lesson.
Yes, I suppose people just see chocolate in the shops and think that's just arrived there. But yeah, chocolate goes back. It could be over 5,000 years ago, and it was probably never really consumed as a chocolate bar until like the late, I think it was 1840, something like that. So, but beforehand, it was used in ceremonial, more hot chocolate. So like the Aztecs and stuff used to drink it then, like a spiced hot chocolate, and it was used for bartering as well. So it wasn't fully processed into chocolate bars, I think, again, 1847, where the actual process of the chocolate then was broken down, where the cocoa beans are then split open and they're fermented, dried, roasted, and then they're pureed then to make like a chocolate paste.
So in its purest form, of course, exactly. It would have been very bitter.
Very bitter. And again, adding that into, I suppose, drinks and stuff, you can add the spices and stuff just to kind of take that bitterness away. But I suppose all the chocolate that we would see nowadays has been processed, and it would have additional oils in there and obviously sweeteners as well to the chocolate that we'd be used to. But yeah, the chocolate.
And dark chocolate then, is that chocolate in its purest form?
You can go like, there's a chocolate called baker's chocolate, and it would be like pure chocolate, where it would have no sweeteners in there, more used in a commercial background where pastry chefs and bakers can adjust the level of sweetness then, and depending on what kind of dishes that they're making. But your dark chocolate, even like your 70%, and that would still contain your a little bit of sweetener in there and a little bit of oils as well. Even though they are quite bitter, there is a little bit of I suppose stuff in there too to
help. And milk chocolate then, what's happening?
Milk chocolate's
there?
A total different ball game altogether. So milk chocolate is with the addition again of sugars and oils, but it also contains condensed milk and powdered milk. So again, very, very sweet. So again, it's all for the flavour profile. If you're looking for something, or you prefer a chocolate that is sweeter, then you're going to be more, I suppose, geared towards your white chocolate or your milk chocolate.
White chocolate. Now, that's not chocolate at all.
Do you know what? It's a funny one with white chocolate. It's like that relative that comes over from the States. You know, it looks foreign and it's rich, but they try to pretend they're Irish, but are they Irish? You know, it's a funny one.
It's not like chocolate. It's just sugar and
it's
condensed
very,
milk.
Very, very sweet. And again, when you're using it, I would say your milk chocolates and that and your white chocolate's good for cold process. Like if you're doing a no-bake or something like that, they work perfectly. But I would say when, your white chocolates, because there's higher sugar in there, they do burn a lot easier when you're baking.
And is there any cocoa bean in the white chocolate?
So cocoa, but there's the cocoa mass. So yeah, the cocoa butter's in there and sweetener, but the actual cocoa mass, not in the white chocolate.
Oh, it's a fake. I knew it. It's a fake.
It's a blow-in.
So you use it for decoration and for non...
Yeah, you can bake with it. You just need to be extra careful with the milk and the white that it doesn't burn when you are baking with it because of the high amount of sugar that's in there.
Okay, so we buy a lot of chocolate. We eat a lot of chocolate,
yes,
don't we? Very, very popular.
We would. Ireland would rank quite high up on the scale. I think Switzerland, it changes every year, but the Swiss would be definitely the highest consumption of chocolate as well. They export, but they also consume a lot of chocolate too. So it's high obviously there. But Ireland would be high up too in the consumption of the chocolate as well.
Now let's talk about the practical side of this. So if we open a bar of chocolate and it's looking a bit speckled, little white speckles on it, what does that mean? It's gone off, is it?
Well, not. It's called blooming. So basically what happens is that there's been a change of temperature, whether that's been in transport or storage, where you might have seen it's almost like a dusty kind of white kind of on top of your chocolate. It's still fine, but it just means that the fats have risen up to the top of the chocolate and kind of settled there. It does change the texture and it does change the flavour profile. You can still use it. It's not any harm, but you're just not getting the full flavour payoff and texture payoff when it is bloomed.
Would you cook with bloomed chocolate?
If you're up against the wall and you have no other chocolate in the house, then there's absolutely nothing wrong, because when you melt it down, that obviously all disappears as well. So if you're going to be melting that down and putting it into a brownie or something, you're incorporating that into a bake, so you're not going to see it. But if you're going to be using it for chocolate work, or if it's going to be the top of a ganache or some sort of a frosting on top, you might still see it if you're not going to be mixing it with cream and that. So just to keep that in mind, it's still 100% fine to use, but it depends what you're going to be using for, if it's to incorporate it or if it's for finishing off a cake or
okay.
something.
Okay. Now, when I was growing up, my mother always melted the chocolate over hot water, you know, a bowl over a saucepan. So I feel guilty if I'm shoving it into the microwave for 30 seconds. Is there a right way or a wrong way to melt chocolate for cooking?
What I would say is there's the two methods for that. So you can do it in the microwave, and it's to take that element of guilt out of using the microwave. You 100% can, but you just need to drop your settings down, because obviously I think most microwaves are set quite high. So again, low and slow. And what I would say is put your chocolate in. Firstly, whether you're doing it over a boiling water or in the microwave, you have to ensure that there's zero moisture. Chocolate does not like moisture. So if you add water, or rather the bowl is a little bit wet, your chocolate will seize up on you. So if you are firstly putting it into a nice clean dry bowl, and give it a little burst of about 20 seconds, no more than that. For the first couple of times that you do it, you're not going to see much of a change, but it will start to melt on you. But it will burn in the microwave from the center outwards. So you're not going to see it until it starts to smoke in the microwave. Mm-hmm. And that's happened to me 100 times, and the smell is horrendous.
Explain to me what the seizing looks like when it happens.
It just basically turns to like cement. So it just in a matter of seconds, you're stirring it. And if you have a spoon and there's moisture on your spoon and you're stirring your chocolate, it'll just go from that lovely, velvety, smooth chocolate to like a really hard mass of chocolate in the bowl. And that is really hard to come back from. 9 times out of 10, you have to bin that and start again. So if you're doing it over the bowl and water method, what I would say to you is ensure that your bowl isn't touching the water, because that's direct heat and that will burn your chocolate. So just have a little bit of water in the bottom of the bowl. What I like to do is bring the water to the boil, turn the heat off, and then place the bowl of chocolate over it. And the residual heat from that steam will melt the chocolate at a slower pace and a little bit more gentler as well.
If a recipe calls for cocoa powder, yes, but I don't have cocoa powder, can I use drinking chocolate?
Yes. So again, the pastry chef inside me is screaming now saying, no, you can't. But I do appreciate if you are baking at home and you don't have like unsweetened cocoa powder, yes, you can. But just to be aware that most cocoa powders, as in aka drinking chocolates, contain sugar. And you will see it when you spoon it in, that there's little flecks and grains of sugar in there. So what I would say to you is reduce the sugar that you're using in the recipe a little bit, just so it's not sickly sweet. But if you can, go for like an unprocessed, unsweetened cocoa powder. There's tons of them in the market at the moment, and they're just really, really dark, really rich. You get a much better colour payoff, whether you're making a buttercream or brownies, whatever it is. The colour payoff and flavour is 10 times better. So again, always handy to have one of those just in the press and just keep that for baking.
Speaking of brownies, you've given us some lovely recipes, yes, and they're up online on rt.ie/todaycb. You've got brownies in there, haven't you?
Yes. So again, the different processes. This one here is a dark chocolate Nutella brownie. Just in case there wasn't enough chocolate in there, we lashed in a bit of Nutella as well. But again, it's really, really nice. And brownies are one of those vessels that carry chocolate really well. So you often see dark chocolate brownies. You can see milk chocolate brownies and even white chocolate as well in there. But this one here is using dark chocolate, and it just works really well because as the brownie bakes, the chocolate melts. The chocolate chips that you're adding in at the end, they kind of melt. And then when you put that into the fridge, they kind of firm up again after it bakes. You're getting a lovely little bit of texture in there as well. And the unsweetened cocoa powder is key in those. You just get a beautiful colour as well in that.
Mm-hmm. I made chocolate biscuit cake last week. Actually, we were talking about that on the programme for a child's bake sale. It's just delicious. I mean, you can't beat it, can you?
You could just eat it out of the bowl, as in it's that good. Yeah.
We put in crunchy bars, Maltesers, marshmallows, rich tea biscuits, digestive biscuits.
You're the bougie one. I just go for the digestives. That sounds amazing.
Oh no, we did. We put absolutely everything in there. We were all out. See, we wanted to be the best seller on the day. That was the ambition.
If in doubt, Maltesers and crunchies will always work.
What other recipes have you given us, Shane?
So there's also white chocolate raspberry muffins. Again, these are really nice for adding in white chocolate chips.
The imposters are back.
Yeah, just thought I'd get this one out of the way. But again, really, really nice one for chocolate chips, as in like they sit in the mix and they don't burn on top then when you're using it. So you do get that extra little bit of sweetness. Also, it's always good to have a no bake recipe up your sleeve, just like the chocolate biscuit cake.
Yeah.
This is a Nanaimo bar, which is a traditional Canadian bar. When I lived over there, it was on nearly every street corner. It's
Nanaimo bar.
So beautiful. Yeah. So basically it's a three layer bar. So the bottom is like a biscuit base mixed with cocoa powder and coconut. And then the middle layer is like a vanilla buttercream. And then the top layer is just melted chocolate.
Oh, so it's fabulous. That sounds lovely.
It's absolutely beautiful. And again, a no-bake one that you can actually make and pop into the fridge and it'll be set overnight. But again, just like a coconut chocolate flavoured bar. Really, really easy to make as
and
well.
And you have a milk white and dark fruit and nut bar.
Yes.
Bar as
so
well.
Bark is super, super easy. It's one of those recipes that if you don't know or you're not confident with baking, a bark basically is when you melt your chocolate and you just pour that, whether it's milk or dark, we'll not mention the other chocolate, pour that out onto a baking tray and then sprinkle over what you like on it. So if that's candied nuts, if it is candied fruit, and just pop that into the fridge and let it set. And then when it sets, then when you snap it, you have a nice little kind of, even salty kind of nuts is nice then as well on that.
And how now, considering you're a professional, how do you pick really good chocolate? Like, what are your criteria when you're buying it?
Always look for fair trade chocolate, you know, something that you know that has been harvested and produced in a fair way, that people are getting paid properly. If it's organic, is always a really good sign to look for as well. I think a rule of thumb is always turn your chocolate around at the back and look at the list of ingredients. So obviously the very first ingredient that you're going to see in a bar of chocolate is the ingredient that is mostly in the chocolate. Okay, so if you see that sugar is in there first, then you know that you're basically getting a heavily processed chocolate. So just keep that in mind. What you're looking for then is cocoa mass and cocoa solids in your chocolate. And then obviously if there's a list of ingredients, as long as you're armed with artificial sweeteners and all of that, you know that it has been processed. I always go rule of thumb, the longer the list of ingredients, then you kind of know that it's been through a bit of a process to get to where it is. But they're the kind of ones that I would look for. Again, just flip it around. And there's certain chocolates are fine for baking, but if you're just one of those people that loves just to break off a little corner of chocolate and enjoy it, it is, in my opinion, worth spending that extra couple of euro to get a lovely dark chocolate. And again, depending on what region your chocolate comes from, whether it's from Africa or if it's from South America, they all have different flavor profiles. So you can get into a totally different conversation there about berry undertones and vanilla undertones and all of that in chocolate, like organic chocolate that hasn't been processed as well overly, that you're getting all of those beautiful flavours.
How do you feel about chili chocolate, dark chocolate with chili in it?
Yes, I do like cooking with chocolate, as in from savoury aspect as well. I brought some cookies in today. Now, they didn't make it into the studio. They're still up.
They'll be gone by the time I get out in 25 minutes.
Tahini salt, sea salt cookies.
You're amazing.
In lovely sesame and salt in there. But as well, if you're looking to cook, if you're doing a nice beef stew, or what I love to do with a chili con carne, if you do have a square of really high percent of chocolates, you're looking at 70-80% dark chocolate, just to throw a square of that into your chili con carne or stew, that melts down and it doesn't give you a chocolate flavoured main course, but it helps enrich the sauce, gives it a beautiful colour then as well.
So one square of dark chocolate in a stew, I can kind of understand the chili, but the stew, I'm afraid of my life. So it just gives you a richer flavour.
It enriches the sauce basically, yes.
Amazing.
It enriches the sauce. And then of course you can put in two or three, but obviously the more you put in, the less you have to eat for yourself afterwards. Mm. So one little square generally does it.
Because I suppose when we're making a gravy, we sweeten it up, don't we, with red currant jelly. So is it a similar effect?
Yeah, well, if you're going for a really high cocoa percentage chocolate, you're not looking for the sweetness as such, because they'll be quite bitter. Again, it's just to kind of enrich the cocoa butter that's in your chocolate, will help enrich that sauce and give it a nice sheen. And again, a colour and then a little bit of flavour payoff in there as well.
Shane, it's been an absolute pleasure talking to you again. I hope I get one of your biscuits, but I bet I won't. Shane Smith, our chef there with his hero ingredient chocolate. And don't forget, the recipes that Shane was speaking about are up now on the website rte.ie/todaycb. Thank you, Shane.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.